The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
But I got lucky. God was with me, I tell you. That's what you call a close call. That was an amazing, horrible thing, amazing thing. And in many ways, it changes your attitude, your viewpoint on life. And I think, honestly, I think you appreciate God even more, really, because something happened. Not that it was pleasant. It wasn't like it was a complete miss, but it was pretty terrible.
Apparently, the Secret Service had identified as a character of suspicion this man, this shooter, because they saw a rangefinder on him as well as a backpack. And this all happened more than an hour before the shooting actually occurred. So they saw the guy and they identified this guy as suspicious. Now, more details coming from a source familiar here who was also in the meeting tells me that about 10 minutes before former President Trump went onto the stage, they had gone from looking at this guy as suspicious to now looking at him as a threat. That is coming from this briefing that the senators were in. They were told that Secret Service had called it in to a center that this guy, they now identified as a threat about 10 minutes before President Trump walked on stage, and they still allowed him to walk onto that stage. I'm told the Secret Service agent in charge there was on the phone with local and state police about the threat while the shooting was taking place. That's huge. And that is raising a lot of concerns and now major calls for the director of the Secret Service to step down immediately.
Tonight, we're learning that the gunman was on law enforcement's radar for 3 hours. And the Secret Service designated Crooks a threat 10 minutes before Trump took the stage. And the Secret Service never said, Mr. President, don't go out there. They let Trump take the stage anyway. And 8 minutes later, he was shot.
Like, if he turns his head at the last second and the bullet grazes his ears, if he didn't, it hits the back of his head and he's dead. And then we fall into chaos. And then there's these questions like, how does this 20-year-old kid climb on that roof 150 yards away and no one sees him?
Well, that one guy was pointing at him the whole time.
Yes.
He's like pointing to
something.
He's like, he's right there.
And they're yelling, he's got a gun. There's a guy in the prone position on a roof 150 yards away from the former president. The whole thing's nuts. The whole thing stinks of either incompetence or a design. It seems like almost to watch this, the most bombastic and manly of presidents, you know, for a lack of a better term, to see him with these two female bumbling Secret Service agents, especially the one, to see that, to see everything happen the way it is, to see that they knew this guy was on the roof, to hear that that guy had pointed his rifle before that at a cop. So the cop engaged him, he pointed the rifle, and the cop ran away. The guy climbed the roof with a ladder. You can see the ladder. The whole thing is bananas.
Yeah, you just...
He's 20 years old, and then you find out he was in a BlackRock commercial. You're like...
As we said yesterday, it doesn't make sense, does it? Unless you've got someone on the inside orchestrating all of this by design. Even Joe Rogan alludes to that in his exchange with his guest there. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining us on today's show. You can get to the live video stream of this show at trumpetdaily.com or at our Rumble channel. Just go to rumble.com/Trumpet Daily. Make sure you leave us a comment, a thumbs up. If you'd like to email the program, you can You can send a message to us at td@thetrumpet.com. Lots and lots to get to on today's show. You know, Joe Scarborough, we give him a hard time on this program. But this morning he talked about the last 3 weeks. I kind of touched on this yesterday. When you look at what has happened in the United States of America, Sam just emailed me before the show, all of these books that have been written, John Lucas' book about Churchill, 5 days in London. There's another book on the 10 critical days in Lincoln, Abraham Lincoln's life. I mean, every now and again, we have these momentous periods of time. Sometimes it comes together in just a few days. Look at all, now we're hearing that Joe Biden's on the way out. He gets COVID. What are the chances? They use COVID, the scamdemic in 2020, to steal the election. And now it looks like the dear leader, he might use COVID to get Joe Biden out of the way. They tried to assassinate Donald Trump. Now they're going to get rid of Joe, evidently, by this weekend. What did he say? If you guys have that, is it? It's the last one I had you get. What did Joe Biden say back in 2020 about getting a disease if he needed to? Play that clip if you have it.
And I, like I told Barack, if I reach something where there's a fundamental disagreement we have based on a moral principle, I'll develop some disease and say I have to resign.
Is that happening? That's December of 2020. That's the puppet basically acknowledging that Barack Obama's running the show. If we have a fundamental disagreement, I'll get a disease and resign. Now he gets COVID and he can barely make it up the stairs at Air Force One. Books probably will be written about these past 2 or 3 weeks. We would write it a little differently than Joe Scarborough would, but still, he's right. What a momentous time we're at. My father sent out a trumpet brief last night. Think about Donald Trump taking a bullet. And then he's playing golf the next day. He's at the RNC on Monday. He's set to speak tonight and to give one of the most important speeches of his lifetime. There's so much going on. We haven't even been able to cover the Republican National Convention. We've got some montages that have piled up on us. The last 2 or 3 weeks, books are going to be written about all that history. And you know what? The most important book among them will be this one right here, America Under Attack. America's under attack. And that's what we're seeing. These last few weeks, we're seeing God himself push back. He's intervening to save Donald Trump, to save America. It's going to be temporary, but still, I mean, he says it. It's like my father said in that trumpet brief last night. I mean, puny men, we don't know anything. We can't give you an accurate forecast based upon our reasoning and thinking, but God can. And we certainly can give you God's perspective. My father says, this is the big picture perspective, this trumpet brief that he emailed last night. The factors that enabled Mr. Trump to still be alive today are too dramatic to dismiss as coincidence. He's alive because of an unscripted moment displaying a chart he had to turn to look at. He's alive because a gust of wind shifted that bullet left about 1 inch. He's alive because he cocked his head at the perfect angle at the perfect moment. Do you see God in these details? I mean, we've touched on this point this week on the programs, the Trumpet Daily. Do you see God in this? And if so, well, then what does this mean? Why did God intervene? It's like Sarah Huckabee Sanders said the other night, the Tuesday night of the convention. God's not finished. It's almost like she read our Trumpet article from this past Sunday, the day after the assassination attempt. God is not finished with Donald Trump. Play that montage. This is not last night. It's the night before. I think it's clip 12.
I have always been proud to stand with President Trump, but never have I been more proud than to stand with him right now, tonight. Not even an assassin's bullet could stop him. God Almighty intervened because America is one nation under God, and he is certainly not finished with President Trump. We cannot know what the future holds, but we know sure who holds the future in his hands. God spared President Trump from that assassin because God is not finished with him yet. And he most certainly is not finished with America yet either.
The last few days remind us that the life of every living thing and the breath of all mankind is in the hands of God. Our country has been injured by the bad decisions of weak leaders. But now, though bloodied by our wounds, we must stand up and we must fight. Fight not with violence or destruction, but with our voices and our votes. Fight not against each other, but for the hopes and dreams we share in common and make us one. And fight for an America where we are safe from those who seek to harm us on our streets and from abroad. And we will not be alone in this fight. For leading us in this fight will be a man who, although wounded and facing danger, he stood up and raised his fist and reminded us that our people and our country are always worth fighting for.
Our family has faced our fair share of death threats, mysterious powders sent to our homes, tasteless and violent comments directed towards us on social media. But none of that prepares you as a daughter-in-law to watch in real time someone try to kill a person you love. If Donald Trump has shown us anything, it's that when it feels impossible to keep going, those are the times we must keep going.
I saw President Trump, a dear friend, escape death by mere inches, and my thoughts immediately turn to the book of Isaiah that says, "No weapon formed against you shall prosper." Well, let me tell you the weapons that they used. First, they tried to ruin his reputation, and he's more popular now than ever. And then they tried to bankrupt him, and he's got more money now than he had before. And then they tried to put him in prison, and he's freer and has made other people free with him. And then last weekend they tried to kill him, and there he is over there alive and well.
A lot of people see God behind these incredible events. Just look at the last 2 or 3 weeks. How do you explain it? It really has put America Under Attack, my father's book, right up on the pedestal it belongs on, for sure. He wrote last night, my father did, "Trump is alive in spite of what one commentator called apocalyptic security failures. The Secret Service allowed this to happen. You just heard it in the cold open. They knew. They knew hours before. They knew 30 minutes before. They knew 10 minutes before that he was a threat. And they said, Trump, go ahead and take the stage. Go ahead and start your speech. Who decided this? Who's the one who made the decision to go ahead and let the former president take the stage when there was an active shooter. We get through to this point and we see that now the Secret Service, as well as all of these other government agencies, they're corrupt, at least at the very top. Corruption through and through. How do you fix this? God is going to bring Donald Trump back to power, as we've said, as is pointed out in America Under Attack, and he's going to come back with king-like powers. He's coming back with a mandate. And you can begin to see how strong that mandate will be when the whole world, I mean the nation for sure, is seeing this corruption at the FBI, at the DOJ. You had Peter Navarro. He got out of prison yesterday and flew straight to Milwaukee from Miami, I think it was, to give a speech. Nancy Pelosi's committee, that fraud of a committee, put him in jail, basically. You don't defy these communists, or they'll lock you up, like Navarro, like Steve Bannon. Navarro's out, and to his credit, I mean, he goes right to the convention and starts preaching, starts speaking. A lot of people, as I say, they see God. Do you see God in these details, my father asked? It says here, the Secret Service allowed this to happen. We will learn more in the days and weeks ahead, but we know that many people in the intelligence community and in the federal agencies are desperate to keep Donald Trump from returning to power. There are evil people who want Donald Trump dead. Could there be anything more despicable than trying to kill a president? I mean, you're seeing even some in the regime media. I've marveled at this. Some in the regime are asking some pretty pointed questions of Kim Cheadle and others. How did this happen? The same people that have promoted so many hoaxes over the past 8 or 9 years. Maybe they're finally waking up. Maybe, I mean, even to try this, as bungled as it was, this assassination attempt, it shows how desperate the dear leader is. We've got to take him out. We've got to kill him. We've got to recruit some crazy. We've got to give him an open roof. We've got to let him roam for hours. And now the blame game back and forth between the Secret Service and the local law enforcement, who's saying, look, we're there to basically guide traffic and such. We're not responsible for one building and then the Secret Service is responsible for all the other ones. They're caught. They're being exposed. God is exposing these evil, lawless people. Wickedness in high places, as it says in Ephesians 6. My father says, but all their efforts have failed. That's miraculous. More and more people are realizing this, especially after this past Saturday. Do you see it? Here again, do you see God behind these events? Look at these past 3 weeks. Books are going to be written about these 3 weeks. Do you see God's hand? And if so, what does that mean? What does that mean for you individually? If God is orchestrating or behind the scenes orchestrating these events, causing the head tilt or the gust of wind or whatever it is, the timing, the exact timing of it all, then what does that mean? He says you need to think about the implications. What happened proves God's existence. Even more, it shows how involved in world events God really is. If he's that involved, like I said the other day, if he's that involved in these world events, then how involved does he want to be in your life, in your day-to-day activities? I mean, look at Isaiah 66, verses 1 and 2. I mean, God says there, to this man will I look. God will actually look to a man if he's humble and contrite, if he's repentant. Will you be that kind of an individual that God will look to, that God will empower and strengthen, that God will protect and guide? I made these points earlier this week, but it's worth repeating. Why is God, as you see there at the headline, why is God protecting Donald Trump? Why is he doing this? Why does he care? My father says, I would know nothing about where this story is going if not for Bible prophecy. I have no special insight of my own. I'm just a puny, insignificant man, but there is a living God in heaven who not only alters the course of bullets to protect a man for his purposes, but who has revealed this truth because he wants us to see his hand in these events. God wants us to see his hand, and so God speaks through his servant. In this case, he speaks through my father. He writes through my father, America under attack. In fact, if you guys can get that it, I think it's June 1st. It's from Monday's show. My father, his clip from that message that he gave where he said, you know, many are saying he's might be assassinated. And then my father said there, he's not going to be assassinated. I mean, that's quite a bold statement that my father made from, what was it, 6, 7, 8 weeks ago? And then look at all that has happened in these last 2 or 3 weeks. If you guys have it, go ahead and play it. If not, shake your head and I'll carry on.
They're doing everything they can to humiliate him and they want to put him in jail. And God says, well, no matter what you do, I'm going to bring him back. And you're going to hear a message about what's going to happen to you and people that are disobeying like that and really worshiping the devil in a special way. But from the very beginning, brethren, we did say, he is coming back. And even now, if you were to look at it, you'd say, well, there's some people thinking, well, okay, he's probably going to win it if he doesn't get assassinated. Well, he isn't going to get assassinated. He isn't going to get assassinated. Or how could he come back and fulfill a very great prophecy in Amos 7? From the beginning, we've always said that because it's in Bible prophecy.
And he echoed those same thoughts last night in the trumpet brief. Bible prophecy says he's coming back, so God will protect him from being assassinated. That's what my father said on June 1st. And then think about these last few weeks. Books! Books are going to be written! We've reached so many historic turning points. There was the debate June 27th, and then, of course, July 13th. Just last Saturday, when this happened, you see the photo right there. He turned his head ever so slightly. The bullet whizzed on by, taking off a piece of his ear. Then he got up and he said, fight, fight, fight. He finished his speech. And he won the election on that day, said Tucker Carlson. Look at the courage. Look at how he's inspired people. Look at the tone at the Republican National Convention. Look at the references to God, to the book of Isaiah, to God's miraculous hand, to God saving this man. Look at how it's changed this man. You'll see that, no doubt, all the more tonight when he speaks. My father wrote, you can see plainly God's providence in that failed assassination attempt. You can see you need to see just as plainly his providence in the whole drama unfolding in America today. Do you see God's providence in the drama that's unfolding these past few weeks? It's pretty inspiring. In some ways, it's pretty exhausting, too. Just for me to wrap my mind around all that's happening and to try to present it in a way that's simple and clear. My father says here, you need to know why God is protecting Donald Trump. He will use this man to save America, as 2 Kings 14 puts it. But for what purpose and for how long? A great many people are putting great faith in this human being to turn the country around. I mean, you see it at the convention. People, I mean, to a point, they're right. They see God's hand. But why did he save him? And why is he saving America? And why? We've got to ask. Why is it only temporary? He's bringing us to the point where it's obvious, right? Ezekiel 33 brings this out. It says, when all these things come to pass, then they'll know, they will absolutely know that there was a prophet among them. How will they know? Because they will have witnessed, they will have seen miracles. Some of them recorded on television even, as I said yesterday. They're going to know. Then they will know. But read all of Ezekiel 33 and get the context and understand what's coming. I should mention the United States and Britain in prophecy as well. You need this book together with America Under Attack. You need it. You need both of them. Excuse me. you need to understand prophecy. A third of your Bible is prophecy, and 90% of it is being fulfilled in the latter days, in our day. That's incredible to think about this book. This book, let's refer to this one now, the Holy Bible. To think about the 40 or so authors of this book that put it together thousands of years ago, 2,000-3,000 of years ago. And now these prophecies, so many of them, they're coming to pass. Can you see God's hand in these many events? Books are going to be written about even these past 2 or 3 weeks. Joe Scarborough's right about that. For once, he's right. He would write the book very differently, as I say, than we would. But he is right. It's a momentous time. God wants you to act on these precious truths. God, as I say, God wants to be involved in your life individually. Just like he's involved in these earth-shaking world events. It says here, a great many people are putting great faith in this human being to turn the country around, but he too is just a puny, insignificant man. Now, there's people probably at the convention that don't want to hear that. They just want to focus on the fact that, you know, God caused the head tilt. God saved his life. But still, with all due respect, I mean, Donald Trump is just a puny human being like all the rest of us. It says here, America Under Attack answers these questions. It fully explains the prophecies of 2 Kings 14 and Amos 7 and puts them in the context of other end time prophecies for America. My father says here, the months ahead are going to be extremely intense for America. And in the longer term, prophecy warns of unparalleled suffering for our nation. That's the reality. It's sobering. The U.S. and Britain in prophecy brings out those sobering details. But that's God's truth. That's God's prophecy. That's God's warning. It says here, it also explains, AUA that is, why God is allowing this to happen. It's It is correction from a loving father, and we need to be paying attention to him. Well, I got off on a little bit of a tangent. Maybe God wanted me to miss a bullet or something, as I mentioned the other day. Tangents sometimes are good. They're good. If God's leading the way, go with it, right? Go with it. There's a lengthy article in the New York Times this morning about more detail, as I said earlier. I mean, even some in the regime media are actually asking good questions. Okay, this one woman asked Cheadle yesterday, you say it was enhanced security. Was that from top to bottom? And Cheadle just kind of gave a generic, general answer. Well, we enhanced it where we thought it was necessary. Oh, so you really didn't enhance it top to bottom. The reporter actually asked that. And then the New York Times this morning, it's giving a blow-by-blow account. And of course, it's giving the Secret Service the benefit of the doubt, saying it was just incompetence. We did just a lot of oversights. It's more sinister than that. I guess I can give you a little bit. I know I'm running out of time, but it says here, the Secret Service, the agency charged with protecting Mr. Trump, did not stop him from taking the stage. It's just like Jesse Waters said in the cold open. How do you explain this? God had to intervene himself. It says here, the call to let the rally go ahead while law enforcement looked for a potentially dangerous person is one of many Secret Service decisions now being called into question. The agency is also under scrutiny for allowing a building within a rifle's range to be excluded from its secure perimeter, creating a blind spot close to the former president that the gunman exploited. How does this happen? Unless, as I said yesterday, unless there's somebody on the inside. Unless the decision was made from higher up. No. Tell him to take the stage. Tell him to go ahead and speak. And he did. And 8 minutes later, he was shot in the head. How about that? And God intervened to save him, to save America from a civil war, no doubt. Books are going to be written about these 2 or 3 weeks that we've seen. You know, and some of us here on campus talk a lot about just how many dramatic events often happen during our summer educational program, during our youth camp, of all things. And I was there on Tuesday morning at the youth camp forum to try to help our young people, our teenagers, in some cases 12, 13-year-olds, to just better appreciate God intervening in the affairs of men, the fulfillment of Bible prophecy. God wants our children ready and prepared for what's coming. He doesn't want them to be in the dark when everything crashes, when everything goes up in flames. He wants them to watch and pray always, like it says at the end of Luke 21, just like their parents should be. And their parents, by the way, if they're listening, their parents need to be keeping them in the loop, the children, I mean, on what's happening in this world, this dying world. And how God is intervening to fulfill his purposes, his plans. And how God is proclaiming his loving warning message through his instruments, through his church, through his apostle, through his pastor general. Trump announced his rally on July 3rd, on Friday, July 12th. The day before the attempted assassination, crooks went to a shooting range. According to an investigative summary prepared by the FBI, the next morning he bought a ladder at Home Depot And then later that day, he purchased 50 rounds of ammunition from a gun shop near his home. The rally, it goes on and says, the rally was supposed to start at 5. I guess it started at 6 instead, or a little after 6. And then the president, of course, shot at 6:11 Eastern Time, 5:11 here in the Central Time of the United States, just 2 hours after my father completed his sermon, referencing there at the end, as I said earlier this week, the assassination of Abraham Lincoln. Pretty incredible last few weeks. As I say, books will be written. This article, the New York Times, it refers to Kim Cheadle, the head of Secret Service, saying that they couldn't put anyone on the sloped roof, the 4.6 degree sloped roof, because it was too dangerous. And the Times just, you know, carries right on with the next paragraph. What? As I said on yesterday's show, I mean, that statement alone should have gotten her fired instantly. But she's not going to get fired. I mean, Jill Biden's the one that put her in that position. She's a Joe Obama sycophant, Cheadle. It says here, on stage, Mr. Trump, let me just back up. This is the New York Times this morning. At 6:03 p.m., Mr. Trump appeared waving to a cheering crowd. 6 minutes later, with Trump now energetically speaking on stage, witnesses noticed Mr. Crooks crawling into position on the roof. They alerted local officers who patrolled the area outside the Secret Service's perimeter. It was 2 minutes before the shooting. Warning after warning after warning. Why did everyone drop the ball? Why would they ever let him go on stage? I mean, that's probably the most damning bit of evidence that this was an inside job. Just the fact that they let him go on stage. Okay, don't shoot him. Maybe he's just a kid who's innocent. He's not out to cause harm or anything. Well, at least get Trump off the stage and go investigate the situation. They didn't do it. Somebody signed off on Trump going on stage. Who could that be? On stage, Mr. Trump continued speaking, seemingly unaware. Well, of course he was unaware. He wouldn't have gone on stage had he known. But around him, the Secret Service contingent frantically began to respond, shifting its focus from scanning the crowd to scanning the area north of the security perimeter. The sprawling warehouse complex just to the north, the blind spot, was now everyone's focus. And you can see it. You can see it when you review the footage of Trump's speech. The two counter snipers on the barn behind Trump that had their sights fixed on the ARG building, the blind spot. We don't know yet whether or not they were fixed on the shooter, but they were certainly looking in that direction because they knew. They knew there was a threat. They knew there was a dangerous threat. And Trump just kept right on speaking. God had to intervene with the head tilt. Before that, with the tangent, the diversion away from the teleprompter, as I covered on yesterday's show. Isn't that incredible? If you step back and look at what, you know, just consider, maybe we could play that clip from Scarborough since I keep mentioning it. But this is Scarborough. Scarborough, I mean, he's got the one statement about the 3 weeks, which he's right about. But then you listen to the rest of this montage, and it's Scarborough again trying to find a position that he can stay with on Joe Biden. A few months ago, Biden was at the top of his game. Then after June 27, a turning point in these last 3 weeks or so, They wanted to throw him under the bus. Then Biden came back and defended Scarborough came back and defended Biden. And now it's looking like Scarborough and company want to throw Biden back under the bus, if you can believe it. This is clip 9.
The sobering message he got yesterday from congressional leaders and his biggest fundraiser was simple. We're losing. You're losing. And you're going to run out of money because the donors have left. So I don't know what those two or three in his inner circle are going to say to that. But the fact is, they don't know more than Nancy Pelosi.
Last hour, I believe deeply in President Joe Biden's ability to run this country. Yeah. I also trust more than anybody I've ever met in politics, Nancy Pelosi's political acumen. So when she speaks, I listen, and I think a lot of other people do. Well,
Democrats
well.
Certainly do. We've had so many momentous days over the past several weeks. I can't believe there won't be history books that just detail what's happened maybe over the last 3 weeks, the last 21 days. It's really dizzying. And she's letting them know just enough based on reporting that she understands their concerns, and she's very concerned too that they cannot lose the House. You have that. And so that sounds like elites, but then on top of that, of course, the Associated Press poll that 2/3 of Democrats want Joe Biden out of the race. That's not the elites. That's the heart and soul of the Democratic Party. And there's no way a candidate can win a general election if 2/3 of his own people say he needs to withdraw. And so you add all this up, and then finally he gets the word from Jeffrey Katzenberg in Las Vegas, who before had been sort of the hero of fundraising, who had raised all of this money for Joe Biden, just telling the president the spigots run dry. Donors are not giving money anymore, Mr. President. We can't get donors to give money. You then hear about not infighting inside the Biden campaign, but just a sadness,
yeah,
an understanding that they cannot win with a man that they respect and love. And they're basically waiting for orders.
You know, just yesterday, Scarborough said, every poll I've looked at says it's an even race. It's tied. Today he's like, they can't win. And notice how it's all politics. That's not, he's mentally unfit to be the commander in chief, to lead the nation. He's the president of the United States. It's all, he can't win. Yeah, he's lost support from the donors. Now it's the rank and file Democrats that are withdrawing support. So he's got to go. He got one thing right in that montage, the 3 week statement. You know, even a broken clock is right twice a day, as they say. Everything else, though, it all boils down to politics. We have to do whatever it takes to prevent Donald Trump from returning to office, even if it's an assassination attempt. We got to take him out. That didn't work. Now we got to take out Biden. We got to assassinate him politically. Maybe more. Who knows? Who knows what they've got up their sleeve? It's like my father wrote in 2018. We're getting a hard look at what they will do. These radical communists that are trying to take over the country to just maintain their grip on power. They're drunk on power. They have been for years. And now they're about to lose some, and you see how that they react. I mean, you look at Biden, you see how he carries himself. If you're a true patriot, you say he needs to get out of the way because he's incompetent, because he is not all there now, because he has dementia. Of course, he should be removed. Listen to this montage of, this is Joe Biden over the last few days, clip 7.
You called your opponent an existential threat on a call a week ago. You said it's time to put Trump in the bullseye.
I didn't say crosshairs. I was talking about focus on. Look, the truth of the matter was, what I guess I was talking about at the time was.
Yeah, the term is bullseye.
It was a mistake to use the word. I didn't say crosshairs. I meant bullseye. I meant focus on it.
Is it acceptable that you have still not heard, at least publicly, from the Secret Service director?
Oh, I've heard from him.
But have you heard from her, which was moments of, frankly, of, that appeared to be, you appeared to be confused?
Lester, look, why don't you guys ever talk about the 28 lies he told? Where are you on this? Why didn't the press ever talk about that? Well, I haven't heard anything about that.
We have reported many of the issues that came up during that debate.
No, you haven't.
We'll provide you with them.
God love you.
Okay. Is there a sense of wanting to get back on the horse?
I'm on the horse. Where have you been? I'm on the horse. What I'm doing is going out and demonstrating to the American people that I'm in command of all my faculties, that I don't need notes, I don't need teleprompter. I can go out and answer any questions at all.
And one of my best friends, when I was a lifeguard in the projects, his nickname is Mouse. And cap rent increases at 5% a year, so corporate landlords can't guard. Anyway, I don't want to get going. I'm going to get very upset. I know how to tell the truth. I know right from wrong. I know how to do this job.
Save billions of tons of, because of pollution. Because people, all the studies show, you can get from point A to point B in a train or a vehicle the same distance, you take the train. There's so much more I want to say to him. I'm resisting. I'm told I should be shorten this up a little bit. Look at the heat I'm getting, because I named the Secretary of Defense, the black man.
You helped bring the money?
How do you? Thank you.
The president has been at many events, as we all know, and he just tested positive for COVID.
You know, the president has received probably at least 5 doses of vaccine, and we've already heard that he could take a dose of that.
Dr. Reiner, we're seeing live pictures of the president boarding Air Force One right now, and what jumped out at me, and I'm sure to others as well, I didn't see him wearing a mask.
I guess we've come full circle. There's Wolf Blitzer saying he should be wearing a mask. COVID! It's COVID. It's just a few hours before he tests positive for COVID. He says to that BET interviewer, he says, if I got a disease, that might keep me from running again. He's kind of been all over the... First, it was the Lord God Almighty had to tell him. And then if he was told that he couldn't win... Now, if he got a disease, just like he said in 2020. I mean, if I'm ever out of step with Barack Obama, then I'll get a disease and go away. Well, look at the headlines just now. Drudge Report. Obama lowers the boom. Top Democrats believe he will step aside out this weekend. Obama. That's right. Look at the New York Post. Barack Stabber. Everybody knows. Everybody sees it. The last 3 weeks, they're going to be writing books about these events. And the one book that you need, for sure, is America Under Attack. Listen to the regime media as they comment on Biden being pushed out by Barack, the dear leader. This is clip 8.
Two participants told Julia Yaffe that Biden in that call was rambling and would lose his train of thought. CNN's Dana Bash learned that Biden lashed out at Colorado Congressman Jason Crow after Congressman Crow bluntly told the president that voters are concerned about his vigor.
One person who has been out there publicly defending Biden told me just a short while ago, Biden is going to see the whole House of Cards come down soon. One-on-one meeting, just the Senate leader and the president, and that Chuck Schumer forcefully made the case that it would be better for Biden, better for the Democratic Party, and better for the country if he were to bow out of the race.
And the polling is getting worse, or perhaps 7 battleground states to start. Now you have 11 or 12. Do you have the resources to compete? And that money has dried up. And what is certain is he is not in a position to win this race any longer.
I've never seen anything this politically devastating done at a convention. I mean, they have proven to the American people that the commander-in-chief failed these families. If I were Joe Biden and I saw that tonight, I would resign my office, go outside, dig a hole, get in it, and not come out for a while.
That there was a recent conversation that former Speaker Pelosi privately held with Biden, where she told him that the polling shows that he can't win.
President Biden is now self-isolating both medically and politically. With COVID now, he had given the sequences. He had said what could get him out of the race. The president had said the Lord Almighty. Then he said data, polling that showed I couldn't win. Then he said health. Then privately is reporting saying that he's being told that Vice President Harris can win. So all his boxes now are checked.
Joe Biden's had the worst 3 weeks in presidential campaign history from the debate to today, and Donald Trump's probably had the best 3 weeks.
If you pull back and look at this thing, strength versus weakness, a bullet couldn't stop Trump. A virus just stopped Biden.
Adam Schiff, a close Pelosi ally, certainly with her blessing. Then he came out yesterday with the LA Times and announced it'd be probably the most prominent Democrat so far, almost certain, soon to be senator from California, former head of the House Intelligence Committee, came out and said that he wanted Biden to step aside. And then in rapid succession, word coming out that Hakeem Jeffries had a tough meeting with Biden last Friday, that Schumer had a meeting on Saturday, and then last night, Nancy Pelosi had the same conversation with Biden. Jeffrey Katzenberg has devoted a lot of his professional life to trying to get Joe Biden into the White House, to getting Joe Biden in 2020. He raised more money for Joe Biden, all told, back in 2020 than any other person. He's raised more money for Joe Biden collectively, pulling all these people together, the big Hollywood fundraisers, and he's a campaign co-chairman, Jeffrey Katzenberg, okay? He went to Biden yesterday and said, the big dollar donors are done. And if you take that message and combine it with the orchestrated message really collectively of the leadership of the congressional Democrats, that is as dark a day as there's been for Joe Biden since the debate, because the message of the writing is on the wall. Whether he decides to read it or not, ultimately, right, as we've said before, is up to him. But the message is very clearly on the wall for him now from the party.
There you go. Biden, he's lost. I mean, he's lost Schumer, he's lost Pelosi, he's lost Jeffries, he's lost Schiff, and most importantly, he's lost the dear leader, Barack Obama. Remember Obama's disingenuous tweet the day after the debate? Hey, everybody's got a bad day or two. I mean, I've had a bad debate. Cut him some slack. Where's that now? Where's that argument now? You can just connect the dots and see what is happening behind the scenes. Sunday morning, Donald Trump was supposed to be dead. He was supposed to be gone. And Biden was supposed to scoot on through. God had other plans. These people, they are sick and they're violent. They're evil. And they're not going to stop. It's an article here by David Samuels. Trump's instincts under fire prove him to possess the courage of a leader. However dubious other aspects of his character may be, it is fair to surmise that there isn't a single head of state on earth who wouldn't trade a large part of their kingdom for a photograph of themselves standing bloodied and defiant beneath their national flag, having taken an assassin's bullet and lived. You can't fake that. Never mind what Joy Reid says about it being fake. It says, what we will witness over the next 4 months will be an election campaign pitting the hero figure of a bloodied but unbowed Trump, a man despised by nearly half the country, against the anti-democratic maneuverings of the country's institutional elite, as exemplified by whichever hand-picked candidate the Democratic Party insiders choose. It says the resulting campaign will be a game without limits. in which the level of violence seems likely to escalate, which will further diminish the interest or ability on either side to acknowledge a victory by the other. It says, finally, Americans are about to find out what it feels like to live in a country at war with itself, no matter who wins the presidency in November. That's David Samuels at Unheard. I took you a little bit over because I had to and because we can. You are listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We thank you for joining us on today's show, and we'll see you tomorrow.